probably a good segue into the Nazem Kadri story, where Nazem Kadri is the story of this series for positive reasons and negative reasons. The off-the-ice threats and racial stuff that he's got to deal with is sickening.
Yeah,
and you just got to be the scum of the earth to send messages to him or his wife or what. It's just disgusting.
Dude, these people are getting exposed though, because some of them, they're finding out who the people are,
right?
And
they
pleading. They're pleading not to have. It's like, screw you, man. You got to be accountable for that. Everybody that sends any kind of direct message or anything like that, you should be able to figure out who you are, where you work, what you do, what your family is. And you should be exposed, and whatever the consequences happen, they should happen.
Absolutely. And that, like we talk about Twitter all the time, that's what will change Twitter. Now, Musk, I think, has pulled the chute, and he's probably not coming back now. But, like, anonymous tweets and DMs and all that, it's gutless. But if you're stupid enough to put your name on it and face on it and send racial threats or threats in general or whatever it happens to be, then you're going to have to pay the piper for that.
Yeah.
But in terms of on the ice, like this is Nazem Kadri in a nutshell, man. He's right in the middle of everything. He's scoring goals. He's agitated everyone. Like St. Louis can't compose themselves.
Injured a goalie like that. Yeah. You know, that's the other thing too. You can argue whether he meant to do it or not. I mean, obviously St. Louis thinks he did, and Binnington, who threw a water bottle at him, like that's ridiculous
so lame.
Too.
Oh my God! Like, why is that a big deal? It's a loser move.
It doesn't matter. But
who cares?
Well, I just the thing is it's Kadri. It's a loose puck. He's going for it, sure. Like, you're trying to go for it. I don't think there was intent to run the goaltender, personally. And believe me, I'm a goalie hugger. Like, did he know the goalie's there? Sure.
Noodles, here's my take on it. He said, you know what? I got an opportunity here to get the puck, and if I don't, maybe I run the guy over.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what he was thinking.
And there was
not intentionally I'm going to run this guy over, but you know what? I'm going to go after that puck, and two things can happen. I might get it. I might score. And option B is maybe I run the goalie over.
Well, let's bring in Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Where do you stand on the Nazem Kadri on the ice story in terms of the impact he's had and the way the Blues have reacted?
Yeah, I mean, well, first off, as far as him running the goalie, like I think he saw a puck there, and he's like, I'm going to go in there recklessly, out of control. But I will say this. If no St. Louis Blue defender touches him, he's not going to hit the goalie. Like, he's not just going to run into the goalie he would have turned off and veered away. The collision, he's like, I'm going to go in there so fast. Who knows what happens when we start banging around when I run into it. I don't care, nor should he. But so I don't think it's suspendable in that way, because he was put in the goalie by the defender. But this is, without, you know, the off-ice stuff is gross. I heard you guys talk about it. It's just disgusting. And it's probably something he's had to deal with throughout his career, and you know, I wouldn't understand what that's like, but him and his wife, it's just gross. And I think Blues, you know, you don't have to say you like Nazem Kadri the player, you don't have to say you don't think he didn't try to hurt your goalie, but you can also say death threats and racial slander on a player, that's wrong. Like, I think you can do both things at the same time. So I the no comment from Craig Berube, I thought was pretty weak. Like, you can just say, we don't like the player, but that kind of stuff is unacceptable. And that's a pretty safe place to go if you want to go there. But on the ice, this is what Naz does, though. Like, some players, when they are challenged by their coach, their teammates, the fans, the media, the GM, their parents, whoever, like, some players use that and just want to stick it to everybody. And they play better. Why he's like, I'm going to show the world, forget everyone, I'll show you, and they play better. And that's Naz's personality. He takes that challenge, he internalizes it, and it makes him better. Some guys take that challenge, they get angry, they get out of control, or they get down, they get negative, and they don't play as well. He plays better almost when he gets challenged that way. So, I saw the game, I see the highlights, and I'm like, good for you, man, for all you've been through. And the nonsense you got to deal with, you got police sitting outside your hotel room door, and you can block all that out, all that noise, and channel it into a hat trick game, putting the team that is running around trying to take your head off on the brink of elimination. That is brilliant, mature stuff. And we don't say that about Nazem Kadri very often when it comes to the playoffs. Like, controlled, mature, you know, emotions in check, and just playing and playing well. It was a standout performance regardless of the extenuating circumstances. But when you think of all the other stuff, made it even better.
I agree. And listen, his reputation comes with him. He's in a gray area, a dirty player that you want on your team, like personally. Like,
I love him. I miss him in Toronto
listen,
desperately.
You know what? Leaf fans are dying
me
for
too.
A knock here. Like, but he earned those suspensions.
Yeah,
he's earned his reputation. That being said, I think there is an evolution of the player. Like, I think he realized, hey, I got a real chance here. Like, he's staring a real chance at potentially winning a Stanley Cup
Noodles.
This year.
When that happened the second time, I was sitting beside Bobby Mack on the panel, and he said, you know what? That might be the end of him in Toronto. And I said, what? There are so many, you watch so much hockey, you guys. There are so many guys that you can't get them to have any type of intensity. And we've seen it. And I understand it was stupid, but this is just from my dad saying this to me my whole life. I'll take a guy that you have to tell, you got to coach him into settling down over somebody that you have to beg to show some emotion. I'll take it any day of the damn week.
I get it, but I think it was a, you know, it was 2 years in a row the exact same play. Actually insane.
Yeah.
And then did it in Colorado. Like,
yeah,
it's worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But like, but that being said, I'm sorry, Hayes. I was happy for him last night in watching the way he handled and all the adversity. Like I say, we don't, you know, us on this panel, we can't sit here and talk about anything having to go through what he's had to go through off the ice. So, you know, that's an even different layer, and he's handled that with class. But like the on ice, no better way. Guy goes and scores a hat trick.
Exactly.
Like on the road with the same people that are hating his guts because he took out the starting goaltender. I know, listen, a lot of people in St. Louis that I've talked to are pissed. They felt that was intentional, accidentally on purpose. He earned that reputation. But that being said, all he did is basically deliver his team a 3-1 lead in the series.
It's been his
and
series.
They're not looking back either.
No, it's over now. Yeah.
Well, Husso, what happened to Husso? Like, Husso was like
not,
pretty good this
we
year.
Have a new name for him.
Yeah, what do we call him again?
Rick Clouseau.
Rick Clouseau. Yeah, Rick Clouseau is in net now.
Rick Clouseau's in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it looks that way.
It's not going over so
well.
Wow.
But, like, Colorado's so strong. And
they're
good. I think St. Louis is a hell of a team, but they just... Colorado's like turned it up, and you're right, Billy Husso. Believe me, you might know that name. He's unrestricted, and if
maybe
like he would be a guy
here.
I would be circling. Like I think he's a really good goaltender. So, you know, he might be a guy that ends up in a uniform that maybe people are familiar
down
with.
Don't even say I don't want
Buffalo.
Well, he might be. Like there's he might.
I'm not buying a Rick Clouseau Leaf jersey. I'll just say
are.
That right now.
He'll be in that alumni box for you. I'm Rick Clouseau.
He'll be in the alumni. Yeah, exactly. In the
with round there. Glasses on. I'm Rick Clouseau.
I love it. We need it. Yeah. Well, listen. You know, Colorado has been outstanding, and everyone's digging up old graves with you know the Kadri deal and all that kind of stuff. But
right.
You know what. Has become clear, and I've expressed this point many times over the past 2 years, an issue I have with the Leafs and their high-end players is I find that they all have the same disposition.
Mm-hmm.
They get emotional when they score. They get emotional when they win. I don't see emotion really at any other point. And what a guy like Kadri represents, and he's extreme, but he's on the edge of his seat every single game, man. He's throwing hits. He'll fight.
Yeah.
He'll stick. He'll run into a goalie, score goals, and taunt you. You know, and there's upsides and downsides to that, but he's a different ingredient, you know.
Yeah.
There's a different vibe. And the Leafs, they don't have it. Like, you look at their best players, they all just do. They have the same emotion.
They're also stoic, right? They're just stoic.
They're just stoic.
They're
exactly.
Just, you know, steely, and they don't show any highs, they don't show any lows, which is good. Obviously, they're amazing players, but I think you're right. Like, I think that element of a guy, and I was exactly right, like a guy you can, like, you try to rein in as opposed to you need to wind him up. And I think having guys in your team who occasionally, not like Nas cross the line, but like channel their frustrations in a physical way is not necessarily a bad thing. Because it does bring a lot of people along for the ride, and Nas has been great at that, and it does appear like the Leafs You know those guys are emotional. You know they're intense and all those things. No one's suggesting otherwise. But they don't have that in their demeanor. And it probably would be good if somebody in that top little group had something like that available.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. So over the weekend, Mark Giordano signed a two-year deal to stay with the Leafs at $800,000. And this always felt like it was trending in that direction when they acquired him, right? That he was probably going to stick around. What the price tag was going to be, what the term was going to be, was undetermined. But I think it makes all the sense in the world for the Leafs. You know, I don't know if this has a direct effect on any other player, you know, in the top six. You know, like some people are driving this at what does it mean for the future of Sandin with the Leafs, Justin Hall with the Leafs, et cetera. It's at such a cheap rate that you just find a spot for Gio and I think you work around it. You know, I think that's basically, it's a can't miss for the Leafs in terms of the price. It's $800,000. It's not even a cap hit, relatively speaking.
No, it's a brilliant contract and a great deal like that he gave Toronto. And apparently he had even more on the table. And he said, you know what, I don't want the million. Give me 800 so we can spend that extra 200 on something else. Like, that is incredibly generous. I don't care how much money you've made in your career. You know, you're doing this as a solid to an organization you played for 2 months. So good on him and Kyle Dubas taking full advantage of people wanting to play in Toronto and people wanting to play for a team that they think is really good, because they are. And getting those guys coming, like Jason Spezza has been great value the last few years. Gio's going to be great value. But I do think, Hayes, there is something to the idea, like, Riley's a left shot D. Muzzin's a left shot D. Sandin's a left shot D. Gio's a left shot D. Like, I know they can occasionally play on the opposite sides of each other, but I don't think any of those four guys intend to sit out games if they are healthy. So I'm just curious. I wonder what the Leafs envision their defensive composition to look like next year on the right, you know, how they might, their top six, given the bodies that look like they're going to be coming back, because I do think it means that there will be changes in the back end. I do think they will explore different things, whether it's Muzzin, whether it's Sandin, whether it's Lil, whatever it is. I think they will look into some of that stuff to kind of see how they can make the decor as good as it can be.
I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to, Johnny, I know the team was great, 115 points this regular season, all of that. But, like, you have to continue to evolve as a team. You're not just trying to replicate the 115. What you're trying to do is get over the hump to see how your team would react in playoff hockey. You know, Gio, I think, is a fantastic add, because I think he's a dynamic that plays. He's going to be 39. We have to keep that in mind. Like, there,
I don't think it's guaranteed he's playing that second year.
But all I'm saying is that next year, you know, maybe I saw Muzzin trending online. Everyone wants to trade Muzzin. If Muzzin's healthy, I think he's a really good player. The question is he 5.75 worth? And are you looking at maybe, can any of those guys play the right side? Because Brody's a left-handed shot playing the right side already. And, like, I'm not convinced that whole defensive core comes back. I think you need an upgrade there to continue to go against the teams that, you know, you believe you're in that same neighborhood, and that is the Tampas, that is Florida, that is Boston, guys like that. I think you need to add to your team.
Well, that would be the idea, for sure. Right. And they'll work to do that. And you're right, like, think about Brody's a lefty as well. Like, they need some right shot D, and well, everyone likes Labushkin and the guy and the element he brings. Like, I don't know him playing with Morgan Rielly in the first pair is really, you know, an ideal fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Liljegren has its detractors. He has his supporters. I think he's quite good. Maybe he needs to play in the third pair. But, yeah, I just think it is a precursor that offers great flexibility. And if it doesn't happen right away, hey, your point is valid. Like, it's like a nothing contract. It's as cheap as you can have. It's brilliant. You could send in the minors, although you wouldn't, but, like, whatever you want to do, paper transactions to mitigate the cap hit. But I do think the Leafs will look to, I mean, everyone talks about changing, and maybe it's not the core, but the Leafs are going to have, what, 6-7 new players next year, maybe 2 new goalies. Pretty significant changes for a team, even if it's not the core 4 forwards, and it's not Rielly, and it's not Brody. Like, they're going to change a lot of the other parts on this team to try to, you know, be as good and better next year.
Right.
Yeah, and that's that would be a mandatory objective even if you won the Stanley Cup, right? Like you roll it over and you start from scratch and you turn things around and you see where you're going to go with it. I am curious, you know, where can Sandin play on the other side? If it is Muzzin, what does that deal look like? You know, and I would be careful to your point, Noodles. Like if he's healthy and playing, like I thought he was effective in the playoffs paired with Brody. Like I thought he's not at 100%, but I didn't think he was a liability. And yet, during the regular season, you might not get a ton. You know, he might play 50 games, and you might be holding your breath, hoping that he's at, you know, 90% come playoff time. But that's a big, bruising, you know, leader-type, stay-at-home defenseman, shutdown guy. Those aren't easy to replace.
If he's healthy.
But like, you got to be reasonable with what you can expect out of Giordano at 39. Like I think he's a third pair guy next year, right? So
what you need is like, and then we said this for a while, but like you know, I think Sandin had a pretty good year. I think Liljegren had a pretty good year. You need them to take more steps,
right?
You can comfortably play them in the top four for long stretches, and you can slide Giordano back to a third pair. And if Muzzin's not healthy, you know, like you need that progression internally, and not just. Every solution can't be just external free agents or whatever. You need your young guys. And that was Liljegren's, I think, technically his rookie year. So, like, you know, hopefully he will be better next year. And then maybe that's one of the questions you have that is answered by a guy just getting better within your organization. That's the best way for it to go.
So frustrating, guys. Like, we're talking about lineups and rosters, and we're going to talk about the preseason and depth guys, and we're going to do it for 82 games and about five preseason games, and it's going to come down to a period, a game, a save, a power play, and it could be all for naught. It's crazy to think of all the stuff that's going to go into maybe one period of hockey at the end of the line.
Right.
Well, and what worries me is there's no guarantee that they're better or even equal next
year. There's never any guarantees,
that's
Noodles.
Because if Jack Campbell walks, okay, different looking net, no problem. You might be able to bridge that. But
tough to have a big statement like that with no front teeth. Very.
I don't know if MJ knows the backstory, but we've been not talking about it. But
we're missing some jibs, and it's all good. It's all good.
Who's missing jibbies?
I sound like my three front teeth came out biting a sandwich, and
they're what? Not
yeah, it's weird.
How
stale
was the sandwich? What's going on?
Bad piece of bread.
No.
Seriously.
It was, dude, it was fresh, double sausage and egg. And I'm not blaming it on the extra sausage that my tooth came out.
Maybe too fresh, too juicy. It got trapped in there. And all the
it had a good run. It had a good run, and it was time to get out.
Yeah. Well,
apparently.
That's what we're dealing with. We're going to grind through, and then it's all good. By the end of the week, you're going to have some temps in there, and those things will be popping.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see like Ross from Friends when he gets the piercingly white teeth. I'll go with the extra white.
Yep. That's what we're looking for. They're shipping them over, I believe, from maybe Turkey. Everything comes from Turkey. Hair and teeth. So
as a joke, you should get like just a couple pieces of wood or something, like just for a day.
Yeah.
Like just something like off the rails.
Just
like.
Give it a shot. Give it a shot anyway. So, but it's all good. We're grinding. It's a Tuesday, and we're moving on here, Johnny. We'll do it again later in the week. Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.